In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hanging out together. It's Dukes and Bell with our man Mike Johnson hanging out. By the way, what was your number in high school?
Number in high school, 73.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah, I had to put on 61 when I was long snapping.
You know how it is in high school.
And I was 145-pound center at long snapping.
They had
the two biggest guys next to me, so I wouldn't get squished.
I didn't play football till high school, Mike. Right. And when you show up day one and they're like, here's 73, you're like, oh, well, no, I was like, I was looking at that 18 or something over there. No, big dog. Like, you you have no future at those single-digit numbers, big fella. Back up.
Yeah, man.
That's not going to
happen. They tried me at safety one day, and I tripped a guy that beat us in a scrimmage. That's okay. We're not doing that anymore. Let's talk to our man, Connor Riley. Again, his true story. I just went, the guy goes ass over to kettle. It's
take
like,
that.
Nah, it's not going to happen. Connor Riley joins us, guys, right now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. A reminder, guys, you can go to MarkSpain.com, and you can get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Connor's ready? He's good to go. Hey, Connor. Hey, man. The dogs, certainly, man, looked like rock stars and everything we wanted to see. And sorry, in front of an Alabama Crimson Tide veteran and Mike Johnson.
That's like Connor and I go back. We used to work
okay.
together.
Because yeah, you know, but Connor, that's about as complete a game as we've seen in the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, for the Georgia Bulldogs. Other than the Orange Bowl, which didn't count.
I struggle to remember a time I think I've seen Georgia's defense play as well and as complete of a game as they did on Saturday. From the moment that game started, that was about as violent as I've seen Georgia's defense play in the time I've been covering Georgia. And it really mattered to that team. It really mattered to Georgia to go out there and play well. You know, they always want to win the SEC championship game. I think that's something that's very distilled in this team. But in talking to players afterwards, it really meant something to this team to beat Alabama because they had literally never done it in Atlanta before. I think they put to bed a lot of demons and a lot of talk about the Alabama issue that they have. And they went out there and really from the jump, starting with that block punt in the first quarter, just really took it to Alabama in a way I don't know that they expected Georgia to do so.
Yeah, man, Connor and I go back to SEC Country, the old Brandon Adams, the old Brandon Walker crew back there over at the Cox Media, man. So, yeah, I'm with you. You know, Connor, it kind of reminded me of another Kirby Smart defense. It reminded me of Bama in 2011 playing LSU or 2011, the national title game where LSU didn't even cross midfield, right? It was just swarming. I want to talk about the defense a little bit in just a second, but first let's talk about some offensive line play and a guy, Malachi Tolliver, who I know you wrote about. From my vantage point, a lot of Bama fans talking about the center position and Tim Keenan being able to get after the quarterback, but Malachi Tolliver, man, he rose up to the occasion and really put his best foot forward.
Yeah, I stepped up and met the moment, and that was a major question I had going into this game. I thought the drop-off between Drew Bobo and Malachi Tolliver was going to be significant. Credit to Mike Bobo for making changes and Stacey Sarles on the offensive line for helping Tolliver and making things easier on him. One note that I noticed from this game, Georgia was under center about three times more on average than they were throughout the season. About 36% of their snaps were under center compared to 13 throughout the year. I think that's one way to mitigate against some of the shotgun snapping issues that Tolliver might have had. But that offensive line as a whole, that has been a talking point for much of the season, They went out there. They played really well. I thought Mike Bobo designed a great game plan to go after Alabama's defense in some ways. Only 141 rushing yards on the day, but that was more than enough to get the job done, especially when you look at the other side, where Alabama only finished the game with negative 3 rushing yards, and if you remove sacks, they still only had 20 rushing yards. I noted to our friend BA during the game, it felt like anytime Alabama tried to run the ball or called a running play in that game, it felt like a win for Georgia just because of how well they played. And conversely, on the other side, you hear Georgia all year talk about wanting to run the ball. Even without Drew Bobo, who as a case is their best offensive lineman, they still find a way to do that effectively enough to get a win against Alabama on Saturday. Yeah,
I used to work with Brandon Adams every day. I know that he was just rolling around in that victory this last weekend.
I was like a pig in the S word.
No, Brandon Adams, he deserved that. I'm glad that he had that. There is no bigger dog fan, I think, than Brandon Adams. I want to stay right there, Connor, and talk about Mike Bobo, a finalist for the Broyles Award. It's got to feel good. I know that he doesn't pay attention to the stuff out there, but a lot of questions about Mike Bobo and his time at Georgia. But I think he has firmly established himself as one of the top assistants in the country, and it's just something I don't think a lot of people expected throughout the course of this season.
No, this is a guy who – this Georgia offense, you know, it is not the Ohio State. It is not the Oregon with all the bells and whistles. They have a lot of things where they do certain things really, really well. And Mike Bobo's done a great job of drilling into that. You think Zach Branch this year. For years we had to hear about the screens and how that didn't work. When you have a player like Zach Branch, you see those screens, that last touchdown there coming on one where not only does Branch make the move to get through the Alabama defense, but how well blocked that screenplay touchdown was for Georgia. All the credit in the world for Mike Bobo this year, where they've lost pieces. They weren't healthy on the offensive line for the first half of the year. They lose their leading receiver, Colby Young, in the Ole Miss game, and they pivot on the fly. They really start feeding Zach Branch from there, who he needs, I think, 4 receptions to set the Georgia single-season receptions record. He's had an incredible year coming in from USC. They've dealt with running back issues throughout the year. The pieces haven't mattered, and yet Mike Bobo has found a way to put a productive offense on the field every week, no matter the defense that he's seeing on the other side. I think this is pretty clearly, in my opinion, his best coaching job in the long time he spent at the University of Georgia.
Big time. And again, I just second that emotion because I've killed Bobo so many years that there's really nothing you can argue with other than, you know, my only beef, and Connor just addressed, is get the ball to Branch.
Yeah, got
I mean,
to.
You've got to get the, you know, get the playmakers involved, and that was something. If it's chalk, Connor, it would be Ole Miss. Ole Miss really gave Georgia everything they could handle. You know, and I think, is that just an example where you feel Schumann's defense is even further better down the road, and you throw in the weirdness of the coaching flux with Ole Miss that you don't sweat that game as much when you first saw the drawing?
Yeah, I think that, like, all these games are going to be, I think, tight, and you're going to need players to step up and make in big plays in those games. But one, that Georgia defense, since the start of the fourth quarter, that Ole Miss game in particular, has just been a totally different unit in my mind than what we saw, ironically, in the first 3 quarters of that game. The other thing that I can't stress enough is the drop-off from Lane Kiffin to Pete Golding. I think Pete Golding got handed a raw situation. Yes, I know they're getting a lot of assistance back. But we heard Kirby after that Ole Miss game praise Lane Kiffin, says there's nobody who does a better job in the country in terms of managing the flow of the game from an offensive perspective. The gap between what Lane Kiffin is going to be able to do to you as an offensive coach to Pete Golding, who has never worked a game in his life as a head coach, I think is a sharp drop off. And they're going to need to go out there and really play inspired football, because the deficit that they have, in my opinion, from going from Lane Kiffin, you can say whatever you want about him as a person, in terms of calling a game, in terms of scripting out a game, is one of the better ones in all of college football, and that's a steep drop. So I actually think, even though Georgia somehow doesn't move up, despite winning the SEC, by staying at 3 and getting Ole Miss, I think they get a little bit of a break there from the college football playoff committee.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. It's like, I think Georgia fans look at it and go, oh, man, thought we'd be at 2, and then you kind of look at the matchups and go, well, I think we're all right with that. You know, either way, the coach, even if Tulane can jump up and get them, they're dealing with a coaching staff that's moving on as well. So,
right.
I mean, how do you foresee that matchup playing out when, if you do get an Ole Miss against Georgia? What do you think will be the same, and what do you think could be different this time around, if Ole Miss is able to move on and face Georgia again?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to sort of see what Georgia looks like offensively with that time. And they're going to get a lot of time. They're going to get some time to get healthy. Maybe they get Colby Young back in that game. Now, does he look like the player he was before the injury? I don't think so. But he can certainly help this offense, which I think we saw against Alabama. There are only so many things that this group can do. And they do certain things very well, but they are not the most well-rounded offense. But getting a player like Colby Young back is big. I think the practice reps that some of the young guys on this team are going to get over the next 2-3 weeks, I think are going to be really important. It's going to allow them to continue to get better and better. And so offensively, you know, are they going to score 43 points again against Ole Miss? Probably not. That's the best game, in my opinion, that Georgia offense has played this season. But I think they're going to be able to do some things. And then defensively, that was an all-time game that we saw on Saturday against Alabama. And I know Alabama is limited in what they can do. But I think with the time off and the way that they're going to be able to try and attack this Ole Miss team, especially they're going to get a chance to see them against Tulane, I think that's going to make things very, very different for Trinidad Shamless and that Ole Miss defense. I think it's going to look a lot more like the fourth quarter did for Georgia than the first three quarters.
It's our man Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation, as the Dogs get to wait. But I know Kirby did want to play in that SEC championship. He wants to win those championships. And we played the soundbite. I did love the audio of, like, show of hands. Who's beating Alabama? And no hands go up. You know, and having a little chip on your shoulder. I mean, it's – and the way that Kirby's handled everything from beating Texas and talking about if you're coming to Georgia, you don't get checks, you get hit. You know, and everything else. It's just he's become Nick Saban. It's like the progressive edge. You become your dad. He's become Nick Saban as the elder statesman of football and using that platform to express his views and further advance Georgia, too.
Yeah, this is a guy who's now the longest tenured coach in the SEC. And I think that game on Saturday and talking to some other people in college football circles, Georgia just wants to go out there and they want to hit you and they want to hit you for four quarters. And they think eventually over the course of four quarters, you're going to let go of the rope and you're going to lose. That's what happened, in my opinion, in the fourth quarter of that Ole Miss game where Ole Miss was just not able to hang with them for four quarters. And talking to people during the course of that Alabama game, I actually give Alabama some credit for staying in the fight because it felt like for a few minutes there in the third quarter, it felt like, you know, Alabama was getting ready to let go of the rope and they fell behind 21-0. So I actually give Kalen DeBoer and the crew some credit for how they sort of fought and tried to keep that a closer game than it certainly could have been. But as we get deeper and deeper into the season, you know, who wants to go out there and win a four-quarter game against Georgia? I don't think that there's a lot of teams out there that are capable of doing that. I think one might be Ohio State. I've been impressed with Indiana. But the list of teams that I think is capable of doing that is very, very small. And the fact that they've won so many close games this year makes how they play in the fourth quarter all the more significant.
All right, big guy. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll know, again, we've got to wait a few more weeks until we know who George is going to play, but I like our chances. Connor, appreciate the time, brother.
Yep, as always, it's a pleasure, guys.
That's our dude. Speaking of college football, guys, on Saturday mornings, talking more college football with College Football Game Time, brought to you by Window Nation. You can visit windownation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop Dogs and Tide and Tennessee and more. It's where the fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman go set the stage for all the big matchups. 2 o'clock, it's Army-Navy. One of my faves. We're not there because we have reaction to the Falcons on Friday. That's the reason Carl Cup guys asked me, because we've done that 2 years in a row. This year it's in Baltimore, up there in the Charm City. But love Army-Navy. Go Navy. Beat Army. But that's all Saturday on 92.9 The Game. We'll come back. Got some guy talk for you. Also got Coach Raheem Morris in guy talk. Just when you think college football can't get any worse or weirder, Utah says, hey, hold my beer. We'll explain.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, man, Dukes and Bell hanging out on a Tuesday. We kind of shuffled the deck. We had Ra come right in at 2 o'clock with Mike Johnson from the morning shift. And so I'll do a little guy talk here. And then you'll hear what Coach Raheem Morris had to say to us about more special teams gaffes. Did the team, and we said this, Mike, to start the show yesterday, because, you know, especially knowing pros and talking to guys each week, to say they quit, you hate to say that because it's cliched and, you know, it's not true because guys have to put this stuff on tape. But as we talked about with Coach and with Arch a little later, subsequently you get human nature to creep in. And when you just feel like, oh, crap, it's Groundhog Day, here we go again, just seemed like some of the shoulders kind of slurped a little bit and you're like, man, I'm the guy doing my job. What the hell's going on with that department over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, and look, it's I don't even know if you call it human nature, but how many times do you see, like, the opening kickoff of a game that's like a huge, like, college football game on a Saturday night and, you know, the lights are on and everybody's just flying around crazy, the opening kickoff tackle, and they're doing, you know, the celebration goes all the way to the end zone and people are just crazy. But you can't do that over the course of an entire game, especially in the NFL. You're going to get 60 right. defensive snaps. So eventually, yes, if you are a defense and you're giving your offense plus field territory and they can't do anything with it, eventually in the second half you're going to go, yeah, I don't know if the 110% maybe slide back to 105% this time.
You ever have, I mean, did it ever occur? I know your career was with the Falcons, but you ever have some time where there was tension like that or it was palpable where it's like, hey, we're the guys doing our job. What's your story?
No doubt. But I think it's hard in
college.
Or in college.
It could happen in college,
well,
too.
And it did happen in college because I think our defense was so good. I mean, we had a defense in college in 2009. Rolando McClain, a lot of guys remember, Marcel right. Darius, Dante Hightower, Mark Barron. I mean, we Courtney Upshaw, who spent some time here. We had first-round picks all over the place, you know. Kareem Jackson, who literally, I think, just got done playing 2 years ago, which is just nuts, played for forever. So, but, yeah, I mean, Saban was smart enough with Kirby as defense coordinator that he would play into that. We called run plays. We soaked up the clock. We'd go into four-minute mode with, like, 12 minutes left. And our defense look at us like, y'all ain't got no explosive plays. We can't make this thing lopsided. But right. it's kind of in the end, you realize like it's part of the game plan. We're just going to run it and run it and run it and run it. We're going to soak up the clock, and right. y'all won't be able to do anything offensively against us. So it's complimentary football in a way. We're just not complimenting.
You're not complimenting. Hey, man, this hour, Dukes and Bell, is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It's just some other stories we didn't get to earlier today. It's been all Falcon-centric and some college is MLB's winter meetings. And the Braves basically are shopping with one hand tied behind their back because they don't deal with Scott Boras, which takes you away from all your frontline pitching. And they were never in the mix for Schwarber, who goes back to Philly on a $150 million deal. Most surprising thing so far is Edwin Diaz, play the horns, 3-year, $69 million deal to beef up LA's bullpen, which kind of surprising. And the Mets are kind of got a billionaire owner. They're not really doing much of anything right
now. Yeah, and it's crazy. And I know they've spent a ton of money, and you know, they haven't seen the output from the Mets. I mean, they just haven't been able to really get over the hump the way the Dodgers have, the way some other teams have. And I think it's just crazy. Honestly, the money for pitchers right now is nuts, because if you can just simply string together a year where you don't get injured, you're probably going to get a massive contract. That's just how it is for pitching in Major League Baseball right now. So, yeah, a lot of money for him. He is a very, very good player, and, boy, he's getting paid like it now.
Look, we've talked a lot about the Braves over the years, knowing that, it is what it is. It's twofold. It's philosophical from our general manager, that Alex Anthopoulos just doesn't see the value in locking into these big, you know, contracts, you know, the quarter of a, you know, million-dollar type deals,
right, yeah.
You have to. Or, you know, it's the Boras thing. Carl always points out, Carl's on vacation this week, but Carl always points out, you know, the no-cut deal, you know, the idea that your player's locked in, and that's Boras's, you know, mantra, and you just basically taking yourself out of half of the best pitchers that we need. And that just drives me crazy because we've talked a lot about, you know, what are you looking at next season? For guys who don't know, you're always – it's hope. Hope is not a strategy. I hope that Schwellenbach comes back. I hope that Strider gets back to form.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that we've gone round and round about where this team should be, but to not have the front line starting pitching, that's one that drives me a little bit crazy because – you are going to have a young stud pitcher. You know what comes up around August? Well, he's never pitched this many innings before.
100%. All
and
the
that
time.
That happens every year. That's
every
something
year.
That, that's why I always said that, man, give credit to Snit. He had to deal with that every season.
Yeah, and what's crazy about it is I think one of the things that was lost on Brian Snicker's tenure is how good they were at developing those pitchers. I mean, how many times did you bring a guy up and you say, well, this guy's coming from Double-A, he's never pitched before, and then all of a sudden a month later he's like in the Cy Young conversation. You
right,
know,
but
Schwellbach's one of those guys too.
If you're not catching my drift, you're hoping that Hurston Waldrop looks amazing. But they're going to have to, you know, ever since Schwellenbach years ago, guys, they handle these young pitchers with kid gloves because you have to with all the damn Tommy John.
And honestly, I think that's one thing in Alex Anthopoulos' corner, and in my opinion for this conversation is, yeah, we're not spending the money on frontline starting pitchers, but I don't know if with the injury history we have in the starting rotation the last couple of years, it's like I'm glad we didn't. You know what
but
I mean? Like, I don't know if they'd have made it.
But Sale was a special bonus. That was a package. The Red Sox thought he was done.
Yeah,
that worked out perfect.
Jeez.
Strider, you're hoping to see. I mentioned Schwellenbach. Ronaldo Lopez, another country heard from. You know, and then it's Bryce Elder. I mean, God bless him. Joey Wentz, Grant Holmes, and
Grant,
maybe
where
J.R.
Did Grant
Richard.
Holmes come from?
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's guys. You can't win a division with that. I'm sorry. But they were able to – they actually did in 21 and subsequently in 23 because they hit so well. My point is spend some freaking money, okay? These are the winter meetings. Let's go, Braves. You got some coin. Let's spend it.
Well, and I think it's not even so much to me about the rotation. It's like, what are you going to do at shortstop? What are you going to do at DH?
Right.
You got to figure those things out. And those, you know, those are where the opportunities are. And so hopefully they can piece them together. I don't need Alex to go Billy Bean. You know, I don't
right.
need the Moneyball thing, but just find some quality players that aren't going to cost you $150 million, and I'll be able to ride with that.
Speaking of loot, and here's something that we talked about with the Big Ten. This story came up a few months ago, and a lot of people, I don't think, realize how bad this is for college football. Some people don't care. Some people just plain don't understand it, because when you get into finance, let's be honest, I mean, sometimes it's off in the weeds. I'm talking about the two Utes, talking about Utah football. Groundbreaking, guys. This is something the Big Ten was kicking around. The University of Utah is entering into what could be a $500 million plus equity partnership with a group called Otro Capital, featuring the creation of shared ownership of a for-profit entity. This is from Ross Dellinger about 5 hours ago. So basically, in this case, you know, I'm saying air quotes, Wall Street. You know, it could be anybody. It could be Berkshire Hathaway. It could be a pension fund. That's what the university, I think it was California University Pension Fund, was going to get involved with the Big Ten, and they tabled that one for a minute. So this is basically Utah is now a business. Their football team is strictly a business. And the worry is that people care in our area about Utah, but when does that equity firm say, I don't like the job the coach is doing? We're not doing enough of this or that. The analytics, that's all Wall Street is.
Yeah.
You want those guys running your football program?
Well, and I think the scary thing for me, Mike, is I don't know where, like, you know, does this turn into a Live Golf thing? Does this turn into like are we going to get people just buying up programs, buying up, you know, I brought up UConn a minute ago. People just buy up UConn program and go, hey, you know what? We'll pay Jared Curtis the $10 million or whatever it takes to get this guy to come to UConn. And you start putting out money. And I'm just going to put this out there. There is probably a lot of people around the country looking at this, and I'll raise Alabama's hand. Alabama, with the rich tradition they have over in Tuscaloosa,
right.
There's no billionaire backer like they have at other places.
It really
there's
is a sum of all its parts, isn't it?
It really is. It's a sum of its tradition. So I think if you were a private equity firm and you were looking for opportunities, you got to look at a place like Alabama and go, dude, we could print money on a place like
this. I said a couple of years ago when they're kicking around the FSU was coming up with any harebrained scheme to get out of the ACC TV contract when they were viable. And the joke was, you really want Wall Street running your program? Well, yeah, because Wall Street would have fired Norvell.
Yeah.
They would have said, this is untenable.
Yeah, just
but when your program.
Bonds and said, okay, let's do this thing.
Florida State doesn't have that kind of money. And this was the worst year to be looking for a head coach. You're like the sixth guy on the totem pole.
No.
By the way, since I've never worked with you, what do you think of the coaching hires that went down? You like what Auburn did?
I like the Summerall hire the best.
Okay, seems like he's got a real personality the Florida fans want.
I think the thing about Summerall as opposed – and now, granted, I think Lane Kiffin's the best coach. I don't know that situation will end the best. I think that's – I got to throw that caveat in there because it's like Lane, I think, is by far and away the best coach. I think that ends. I think that ends bad for whatever reason. I think that you know the Ed Orgeron story of like talking to a booster's wife at a gas station. I don't know.
The old AD who the governor fired didn't want that smoke. That was in the CBS article. Yeah. The Florida athletic director did not want Lane Kiffin's soap opera, and Lane Kiffin sensed it. That's why he was kind of like, I don't think, because they wouldn't let him bring his own general manager in Florida as well.
Correct. And I think when I look at Summerall down at Florida, I think that the Buster Faulkner hire is going to be massive for them. I also think that Summerall has done it with multiple quarterbacks at multiple locations. And I think that's a big indicator that you're going to have success moving forward.
Hey, man, that's a guy talk with a little business of sports thrown in. We got an interview with Raheem Morris, guys. We'll break a little early so you can hear what Coach had to say about, well, special teams rearing its ugly head. Hey, Friday, guys, join this man. He's going to be over at the Publix on Hainsbridge Road in Alpharetta with his partners, Allie and Bo Morgan. Friday, 6 to 9 for Publix on Hainsbridge. Publix says, feed your fandom, feel the hype. You guys have been having a lot of fun. A lot of folks showing up at the supermarket.
Dude, Publix treats us so well, Mike. It's insane. We live like royalty in the middle of those Publix places.
That's
crazy.
Awesome. I want to see Squid get back in a deli and make us up.
Slice it up. Got to watch for those nubs over there. You know what I mean? Yeah, hey. Those things might go somewhere.
The old joke. How long have you been working in the deli section? 5 years. The guy puts up three fingers. We'll come back. Coach Raheem Morris. Why can't we fix special teams? Next.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Can you hear him with Squid and with Allie? And we jump right in with Coach Raheem Morris live from the Ticketmaster Studios. How you doing, brother? How you holding up, man?
You know, it's not about holding up in this game. It's about, you know, finding a way to make everybody around you in a better place. And, like, I got a really great team. They got a really great attitude. When you got guys like Bajan, you got guys like Drake, you got guys in this building, the Chris Lindstroms, the Jake Matthews, you know, they know what they want to be. And we got to find a way to get there, and that's what we'll do soon.
Coach, I played, obviously, for a number of different coaches in my time. Mike Smith had a different way of dealing with things after a loss like this. Nick Saban had a different way of dealing with things after a loss like this. What would you say that your coaching style is coming off a loss like we saw this past weekend?
You know, those things that you have, when you have those kind of bad losses, you got to go look at the tape. You got to go evaluate it. And you got to see what went wrong in the plan. And it was really clear. You know, when you come out from the second half, you're in the type of ball game you want to be with a 6-6 game, and that thing turns to a kick return, and then you're going on the ensuing drive, and you fumble in the red zone. That thing turns to a 14-point game pretty quickly. And as you know from playing in the league, that's not our style of play right now, and that wasn't favorable for what we wanted to do. So the thing went awry, and you got to make sure you don't let that happen moving forward. And those are good learning lessons from us, right? Like, everybody's got to be accountable to those moments, and you can't blink when something bad happens. You got to find a way to get out of it.
I know you already spoke with the media coach about, you know, special teams, and you said it. I mean, you had a blocked field goal. You had that kick return. From where I was sitting, and I know you kind of talked about, look, we got to have our heads right for Tampa Bay. Sometimes it's just human nature. You feel like shoulders drop a little bit, and some of the team goes, here we go again.
I'll tell you this, you know, like that was one of the moments that happened. You know, I can definitely say that, you know, when the kickoff return happened after the team is fighting so hard, and then they go out. I love how the offense responded, getting the ball, going back down there. The fumble happens in the red zone deep in their territory where you can go make that thing. You can nullify it. But when they get the ball back, go down and score, they get the 14-point lead, you do feel a little bit of a low. Now, the guys picked it back up. They still fight and all of those things. But, like, you can't have that. And this league's too good for that to happen, particularly against a really good football team like we played this week.
I'm curious what did happen on the field goal, because I was watching it, and I'm hearing echoes of Keith Armstrong in my ear going, hey, you can get run over. Just get run over 1.3
seconds. Get run over slow. That's exactly
slow.
Right.
I was curious because I'm watching it. The operation, was it slow? You know, Bergeron's out there playing the wing. Are we tight in the splits? Because it can be in any number of things. It seems so simple to, I think, people watching it, but there's so many minute details that go into that situation.
The operation was clean. We got to do a better job on the edge. We got to go, like you just said, you got to get run over slow. You got to be bigger. You got to do the things you need to do right there in order to happen. Keith Armstrong, that I was here with, lucky enough and fortunate to be with, I can hear all those same coaching points. You know, and to be honest, that the first one that we got off, he was really close to that one as well.
He was, yep.
And that should have been a correctable moment where you can go back and teach that thing and get it done the right way on the sideline and get a little bigger right there. But we were not able to do it. So when he got that block, you know, all of those things you watch guys fight back from, but got a little overwhelming for the guys at that point, especially on that second fumble.
Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios, jumping right in today on Dukes and Bell. You know, special teams, it's all about attitude, and guys make careers on special
teams.
It's not. Guys, they get their pensions for sticking around in the NFL through special teams in some cases. Where's the pride? I mean, where is the pride in that unit?
You know, I won't say it's the pride thing with the guys. I mean, it's a lack of execution for sure. There's some things that's not getting done that you got to get done. You know, obviously you got to go out and you got to figure out how to get people on the ground at all times. People do make careers out of it. You know, we know Eric Weems. He's one of the guys that takes the pride in everything. Like, these guys have pride. You got Mike Ford out here who's, you know, potentially up for, you know, a Pro Bowl ballot, you know, and how he's playing. So it's not a pride thing. It is an accountability to everybody doing the jobs at all hands, all deck. Yeah. And no matter who's in there, right, you can't make excuses about backups. You can't make excuses about injuries. No matter who goes in there, you got to get the job done. That's the importance of knowing what your job is and how to do it and how important every job is.
Where do you turn? I mean, because otherwise, if it's not practice squad, I know you don't want to be forced to use starters on teams. Is that what it comes to?
You know, I don't believe in that. I think you got to go find ways to win no matter what. So whoever can go out there and help you get it done, we'll do that. You know, you got a chance to see Watt out there, young Xavier Watt out there, go and play. We've seen Jalen Walker go and cover kicks. You know, all these guys are starters. All these guys do what they got to do. And you got to get the guys out there that can make the plays. And if it comes from practice squad, with people getting opportunities, that's where it comes from. I mean, I'm sure you got a better example than that than me, but, like, I've seen people walk on from practice squad and really make significant improvements and significant advancements in their career and go out there and make it happen.
Anton Smith was one of the best.
Ain't no
he
doubt.
Was a gunner. Golly, man, I used to love watching him go to work.
I did not. I was in Tampa.
I know that. No, that's right. He was unbelievable to watch do that. I'm curious from your standpoint what did happen with the defense in the second half. And you mentioned it, things get off the rails. They make adjustments. I'm watching the first drive. I go out there. AJ makes, you know, he's got good, you know, posture on the first play of the game, force the guy out of bounds. D. Alford steps up, makes a tackle right there at line of scrimmage. You know, James Pierce gets the sack. Jalen Walker's in phase and like a spy technique. I mean, it's beautiful. The first drive's beautiful. The first half, right. I mean, as the game wore on, though, obviously they were able to have more success. What do you think changed for them offensively in the second half?
When they got the 14-point lead, they put you in kind of harm's way. You know, you're basically playing four-minute ball. And you're basically putting yourself in harm's way, having to load the box up, thinking you're stopping a run. And that opened up explosive plays by Cooper Kupp and Smith and Jigba, to be honest with you. You know, you can't make excuses for that. You still got to go make those plays. But we definitely had to put ourselves in more susceptible ways in order to try to get back in that game. They didn't let us. They hit the explosive plays. We didn't stop those guys from hitting those explosive plays. And then that's how it got out of whack.
Yeah.
But you got to keep that game in arm's reach
right.
in order to win games versus good football teams, as you know.
Yeah.
The third downs continue to be just a nightmare. For, 1 out of 13 for Kirk. The good news is you're getting Pitts more involved the last couple of weeks. Just not translating in the red zone and scoring. And then Mooney's play is almost indicative of the whole damn season.
The red zone last week was kind of the outlier, you know.
Right.
From the red zone, from the weeks prior to that, we had been really rolling, really pride ourselves on running the ball in the end zone and watching Tyler and Bijan do that over the last – 5 to 6 weeks have been outstanding. You know, where the problems lie is in third down. And we gotta have plays made by our wideouts. You know, Bijan made the first third down, the third and two, made a nice move on the edge, got the ball in his hand, really got us going. The next third down, we end up getting a PI, getting moved down in there. Those things don't count as a conversion, but it happened. The next one, we get a real opportunity on a zero blitz. We get a 70 protection, as you know. We slide to that thing. Didn't get a great slide, but still got the ball up with an opportunity to cow. Well, you got to make that play. And if you make those plays like he made later on a play similar to it, that's how you move the ball on third down.
Is the Mooney play just kind of like an example of the detail and not being detail-oriented?
I don't think it's detail with Mooney. More so with Mooney, it is the fight of coming back off of how important it is to have your offseason, how important it is to have your training camp, how important it is for you to get going the right way so you can maintain throughout the whole process. And we've been off a little bit there all year, so fair enough criticism. I definitely agree with that. But we got to find a way to get him back. And we got him back just for a glimpse of what he can be and what he is versus New Orleans. And it's got to be more consistent for us.
Coach, I'm curious to get your take on what you do think this offense is missing. I've been screaming from the mountaintops for more screens, and you guys have definitely tried to do that. Zach's done a nice job. Get a couple batted down at the line of scrimmage. The holding call on David Sills, which is really ticky-tack on the Algier screen.
God, I love your honesty. Can we get this guy every week? Because you can say that. Yes. I cannot.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. Come on.
It was brutal.
It's tough. It was brutal. And, you know, I think I look at it and I'm like, man, because you're right. Between the 20s, it seems like the offense is cooking and
rolling.
You start getting near the red zone and things start happening. What do you think this offense is missing? What would you like to see more of from this group?
I'll talk about this week in particular because we had got things going in the red zone like I just mentioned. This week, the penalties killed us in the red zone. We had a holding penalty on our young DT. We had another holding penalty.
Devin Thomas.
Yes.
Yep.
We had a holding penalty on DT. We got another holding penalty you just mentioned on the screen game that kind of really set us back. And when those moments happened, we had to settle for field goals, and those are the things that kill you in the red zone. When you have negative plays or you have penalties, those are things that kill you in the red zone. Those are the things that we had not been doing. So we're able to score some touchdowns, being able to run the football in, being efficient, being effective, staying on track, which we have to be, right? We got to get better wideout play, right? Missing Drake right now hurts, and we haven't played particularly well on wideout, so that's how you struggle in third down world. So, like, right. When that happens, you got to get guys to make plays, and – one of our guys is Cal Pitts.
I guess could you use Bijan even more to help out with
that is a tough ass.
I know he's doing everything. And the fumble.
The man's got 1,000-yard rushing. He's got 500 yards receiving.
And the fumble was so uncharacteristic. So you can't yell at Bijan. He's the heart and soul of his team.
you can. And Bijan, you don't have to, is the difference. You know, like there's nobody going to be more accountable than Bijan. And, like, I felt, probably like all of us, felt bad for Bijan. Like, you know, that's one of the people you check on after the game, make sure he's okay. But he's got such a strong faith, such a strong religion, such strong belief in himself that, like, he's going to bounce back. And, like, I can't wait.
I think the same things when you say that. How much more can you use him? Because I think there's a point where you guys are 3-2 and we go empty backfield and you throw the slant to him to pick up the first down. Right, right. And I'm going, no, don't go empty. Okay, yeah, throw it to Bijan. Yeah, that's a good idea. Good idea, Zach. I love that play. And I don't know how you can get him more involved already than he is. I thought, you know, some of the designs were him were really, really nice this past week. You guys have played Seattle a couple years in a row at our place. It's been decisive victories for them in both of those. What do you think Seattle's gotten right over the last couple years with that team and the things they've been able to do?
You know, I think their GM has done a really nice job of doing what we're trying to do, you know, build it up front. And right now, going out the last couple of years, being able to get Rook and Dulles in last year's draft, building our front on defensive line. This year, going to get Jalen Walker and James Pierce, really building the front line. When you look at that front line over there, I mean, they've got backups as first-rounders, you know. Yep. And like, it's what you need on both sides of the ball. And then they went out this year and really did a nice job of really, you know, parting ways with DK, but bringing in a guy like Cooper Kupp and really being able to make Smith and Jigba his number one.
Yeah.
And then on offense, once you get that rolling, they got two backs in the backfield, which we are very proud of what we've done. But they built that thing the right way. They've gone out. They got their quarterback in Sam Darnold. He's really been able to be efficient, really be able to get the ball down the field. You know, he's had his games where he's been questioned, which is always going to happen at quarterback.
Sure.
It's just the nature of the beast. But I think they've done a nice job of really building the football team and then going out there being able to execute. And this year, it's really shown up in a major way.
Yeah. It's head coach Raheem Morris, guys, live inside Ticketmaster Studios on Duke Sabel with Mike Johnson. Tampa Bay, you're getting him after.
Why does Mike Johnson get like this cool?
Well, it's kind of like Divine Diablo.
No. You know? I mean, that's Mike what I'm Johnson. Saying. Like, you it's can't just say that.
We're gonna call it Mike and Mike in the afternoon. Like, that's what we're gonna go with.
That's been used.
Yeah. Well, they're mornings technically, but
exactly. Yeah, there you go.
But no, man, this Tampa Bay team, you know, if Koo doesn't miss the field goal, we maybe go to overtime. Maybe if we're talking, it sets the tone. I don't know how things would have gone if we pulled that game out, but it's a division rival, and they've been dealing with injuries, but now they're getting some of their guys back.
That game, was one of those games like where you felt like your team was where you were supposed to be. I remember you guys remember the third play of the season. We throw a check down to Bijan. He shows what he is right away, right? And then at the end of that game, I don't know if you remember, but our quarterback, Michael Penix, went to check Superman and started scrambling around, dove for a few touchdowns, ran into another one, got us close in another one, made some really good throws in that game, especially versus their zero coverage. They came out in the base package, really did a nice job of settling us down in the run, not us running 11 personnel. Did a nice job there, right? We did a nice job on defense coming out, really established the fact that we can rush the pass this year. It was a great game. And then we missed a kick at the end of the game. And those things are all hurt, right? And they all those things happen. But you never know what happens, like you're talking about, if you can find a way to win that game, one game, you know? And, like, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So no spilled milk.
Coach, it's another Thursday night game against Tampa. You go back a year ago, a little over a year ago, to the Thursday night game where Kirk throws for over 500 yards. You go look back at the stats last year in that game, it's a lot of the same people, and obviously Drake was a part of that game and, you know, had 150 yards receiving, but Darnell's the same way, I believe, 8 or 9 catches. What's the biggest difference in this offense last year as opposed to this year at this point in the season?
You know, it's hard to say, but it's not the timing. You know, like, we're probably not built to throw for 500 yards right now. We weren't built to throw for it that night. Yeah. That was what was needed to win the football game that day, right? We had to go out and throw. They were able to stop our run. We found easy completions. We were able to gash a couple of their blitzes and some zone pressures. Things felt really good, felt smooth, moved dramatically, got into the red zone and scored touchdowns. Played well enough on defense to win it at the end, and got a big time going to overtime and executed at a very high level to slap it with the timeout. I know you guys remember spiking that thing. I don't know what happened on the penalty after that, but we got the long field goal. Things happen the right way. And when you got that kind of momentum and people make plays and you find out ways to finish, I think that's the biggest difference in what's happening right now.
When you have the weekly meetings with Arthur Blank and he's asking you about, you know, what happened, is just what do you say? It's like, it's just simply, it's a matter of execution.
No, Mike.
We dialed up the right stuff and the players didn't do their jobs? Or where do you draw the line on that?
You absolutely don't do that.
I mean, you just say to us, it's on me. I didn't have them prepared.
The truth is bulletproof, Mike. And that is your statement, right? So, like, when you go into this game, right, every time we go play a game, there's a what it takes to win a game, Mike, right? I know you haven't played a sport in a long time. Look like it. But
no, hold on. Now, you don't have to take shots.
That wasn't
saying
a shot, Mike.
I mean, look, everybody competed at some level out there.
We're old, Mike. That's all we're saying.
All right, man.
We haven't done it.
But I'm saying, what do you say when Arthur's – you got to find a way,
right, to win a game, right? You give them the what it takes before the game.
Right.
And then you go explain what happens after the game, right, if you're able to do those things. Like last week, we had to limit explosions on defense. And in the second half, we did not. And exactly how you talked about it. You had to go find a way to get the ball back off of Sam Darnold to be able to win. That's how you've won football games, right? That's how they've been beaten. We did it in the first half, and after that it was kind of downhill. Wasn't able to continue to get those things done. And no different in an offense. You had to come out and run the football, stay on track. We stayed on track the first half. We missed a couple field goals, but the score was 6-6. It could have very easily been 14-6 if you just do better things, a little bit better version. And then on special teams, you had to go out and cover.
Right.
And it really hurt us. So, like, when you're talking about these things, these are in real time. These moments that he knows he's in the box looking for, so we don't see those things happen. It's not having to make the excuse. It's telling them the truth on what happened on the play and why those things didn't get accomplished or got accomplished.
Right.
And those are the things about the media. You never want to go in there and, like, make up stuff, you know, like,
right.
You got to tell them before the game.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Coach, real quick before I let you go, I did notice, and I mentioned it, you know, the first series, Jalen Walker backs off the ball. I think you're looking for Sam Darnold to pick up some first downs with his legs last week. Baker Mayfield has done that a ton of times against us. How much of that translates what the game plan was a week ago to kind of what Tampa's able to
first,
do in the quarterback spot?
First game of the season, you know, Baker's definitely a problem that way. And a lot of the quarterbacks right now in the National Football League, just in general, but like you just mentioned, having somebody always paying attention to him. Like the first game of the year, I know you remember the big time tackle on third down, and I think 9, Caden Ellis made in the middle of the field. I think it was on the first third down of the season. And then he was able to hurt us later by breaking a few tackles and get out the box, and how you control the rush lanes and how you want to organize your rush to make sure when you do have a 4-man rush, when you're not looking at them, that these guys are organized up front so he can't get out. And then if you do allow those guys to be free and free rushes and get up the field and do some different things, you better have a guy looking at him. And when you're looking at Baker, he's better be a guy that can actually tackle him, right? Baker's not a guy that's going to go out there and be an easy tackle. We know that. He knows that. One of the toughest guys I've been around in football, being out there in L.A. with him. And he looks for those moments to shine. And he's done it, you know, this year at a very high level for the most part.
Last year, one of the coolest plays, that touchdown to Mooney down in Tampa. Hopefully we'll see some of that on Thursday
night. Oh, man. The double post that we kind of threw up to him, and he went up and made a great grab.
That was the prettiest throw of the year last year.
The prettiest throw of the year last year.
dropped it right in the bucket. I talked about it with Arch at the time. It was kind of nice.
It was a good throw. The throw up the sideline versus Tampa 2 versus the Carolina Panthers, Michael Penix made the red.
Dropped it
was a pretty good one, too. Yeah. But it was some good ones. I'll give you that one.
Good luck. Again, guys, wearing the creamsicles, man, will be Tampa Bay. It's a throwback. This is one that the fans always get fired up for. We'll be in the old school red lids. Don't know if we're going to be in the black jerseys because that could work because, you know, we've seen bright colors on bright colors. In the old days, it would be visiting and home. I think it's going to be kind of cool for Thursday night. Hopefully, we're fired up. Are we getting them at the wrong time? We'll find out from Mike when we come back. And that is Mike Johnson, if you're just getting in the car, hello.
Hey,
we
man.
Got off to a start with 2 o'clock.
Hey, man.
Coach stopped in, and Mike Johnson's been filling in. It's Mike Bell and friends, everybody, as Carl's on vacay. Special guest later this week. We'll give you more details on that. We'll give you the latest injury information, because I know you want to see Drake, but I don't think that's in the offing. We'll talk about the Falcons and the Bucks live from headquarters at the branch. It's Dukes and Bell.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.